The first reading is Luke 8, verses 1 to 15, and the parable of the sower. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, reading from verses 13 to 16. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So it's my job to break it to you that you're getting 2 sermons this morning. But Tom and I have agreed that we're only going to do 10 minutes each. So don't panic when I stop speaking and Tom gets up to speak. Because in theory, it'll be 2 halves of one sermon. But just so you're ready for that, I wouldn't want you to be breathing a sigh of relief that soon it's time to go home for lunch and then you have to listen to Tom. If you want to... I'm going to be talking about the first of our 2 Bible readings just for a few moments. If you want to follow along, I think it's page 1036 if you've got a pew Bible, or you can follow on your phone. And I would encourage you to like have your phone out and ready, because we're going to be getting you to, those of you that want to use it to look at our new website later on. Do feel free to follow the Bible on your phone, BibleGateway.com, or there's an app called YouVersion. If you don't have it downloaded and you have a smartphone, I would encourage you to download it, YouVersion, and you can get all sorts of reading plans and stuff as well, just as a little aside. So we're in Luke 8, and I wonder if this is a passage that many of us have heard spoken on before. It's entitled The Parable of the Sower, but actually really it ought to be called, based on what we normally look at when we look at this passage, The Parable of the Soils. And sometimes it is referred to as The Parable of the Soils. And we're probably, many of us are probably familiar with the concept of seed being scattered on the path and the birds eating it and on the thorny ground, and on the rocky ground, and on the good soil. But what I'd like to think about for a few moments this morning is actually the verses that come before we even get to that bit, so sort of 1 through to 5, because I think there's some really important points there, and we kind of skip over the first few verses, the bit about the sowing, and we get onto the soil. And it's right that we talk about the soil, it's right that we think about authentically hearing the word of God, but I wonder if we don't miss some nuggets of gold because we move too quickly onto thinking about the soil and how we hear, how we authentically hear the word of God. And the first thing I'd like to draw your attention to is the context in which we have this parable, that first verse. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women, and then it goes on to talk about the women that were with him. The context of this parable is Jesus' missionary agenda. And I think often we move onto the soil, we don't actually log in our heads. The context of what's going on here is the theme of the whole of Luke's gospel, which is Jesus's missionary agenda. And at this stage, the disciples aren't actively involved in that. They're following Jesus. They're with Jesus. They're alongside Jesus. And Jesus is preparing them and the women that follow him and the crowds that he speaks to. He's preparing them for taking on that missionary agenda, for proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And so that's the context, in which we arrive at the parable of the sower. Jesus proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and preparing his disciples to do exactly the same. Hold on to that thought. Now, Jesus doesn't prepare his disciples privately. You might think, I don't know about you, but I know you learn an instrument, you go off and you have your music lesson in like a little room, you go to university and you study whatever subject you study. We think about kind of learning as you go somewhere to learn something. Here Jesus is teaching his disciples very publicly. He's not saying, actually, come away my favourite 12, we're going to go in this corner and I'm going to tell you how to share the good news. He's saying, actually, I'm going to live what it looks like to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, and everyone that's following me, and that's the 12 and the women and the crowd, you're going to observe and learn so that you can go and do it. It's not an exclusive kind of, I'll educate these 12 in order to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. It's for everyone. And notice that the disciples and crowd with him are with him as he's interpreting his ministry. I didn't explain that very well. So Jesus is probably at this point, he's picked up a handful of seed and he's actively sowing, and they're following on behind, and he's interpreting it as he sows the seed and the different areas of ground. That's the likely context. I can explain to you why the Greek words make us think that that's what's going on. But that's the likely context of what's happening. Jesus is doing it. They're observing in order to be prepared to go and do it themselves. It's an active process. Third comment on, I need to stick to my 10 minutes, third comment on verse 1. And that's that it's really, really extraordinary that the women are there with the disciples. Many of us are probably familiar with that idea, but just take a moment to register. These are, if you go on and read the passage, these are single women. Now, for single women to be with Jesus, and they're not there in a servant capacity. Anyway, I can explain the, if you want to ask me afterwards about the Greek that tells us that they're not there in a servant capacity, come and ask me. But they're not there to serve the men. They're not like the kind of women that have come along in order to, cook the meals or whatever. They're there in their own right, single women. That's extraordinary. What does this say about the reach of Jesus's ministry? Hold on to that thought. Second point, the seed, many of us again are probably familiar with this, is the word of God. But again, we skip over it and we get onto the different types of soil. But just register for a moment, the seed is the word of God. What's that mean? It means that it's not made, it's given. It's not something that we have to find from somewhere. It's not something the sower doesn't have to make the seed. The master gives the sower the seed to go and sow it. Just register that for a moment. The master gives the sower the seed to go and do the sowing. The sower hasn't got to find the seed of their own accord or make the seed. That's second point. Third point. The sower's role is just to sow. The emphasis is on the sowing. The emphasis isn't on the, quite easily with this parable, you could have, be careful that you don't sow in the thorny areas and be careful that none goes on the path and be, but that's not what it says. The sower goes out to sow, and some happens to fall there, and some happens to fall there, and some happens to fall there. The emphasis is on the broadcasting of the seed. The problem is the soil. The problem's not where the sower is sowing. So, let's try and pull these threads together. I think I'm doing okay. What does this mean for us? Well, we're launching our new website today. But the first thing I want to say is the website comes as part of a project to look at how we're broadcasting, how we're communicating. So it's not just a nice shiny new website. This is about our church's digital front line when it comes to sowing the seed to the people of our local community. The website is about broadcasting the seed as widely as possible. Now, all of us are called to broadcast. Back to my first point. The disciples, the women, the crowd, they were all there. Jesus was going along sowing the seed. They were observing and he was preparing them to go and do the same, to go and proclaim the good news of the kingdom, Jesus's missionary agenda. All of them, everyone, not a select few taken off to a corner to be taught how to do it. Everyone was publicly shown how to go and live this missionary agenda. And so that means all of us are called to do it too. Every single one of us. It's not just about the website that we're going to be showing you. It's about all of us and how we interact in every area of our lives. How we communicate when we're having coffee at the back of church. How we use our notice boards. How we use our weekly sheet. How we interact when we email one another or when we WhatsApp one another. It's about all of our communication, and actually not all communication is verbal. Just bear that in mind, that we often communicate by the mood we create, the atmosphere we create, the vibe we give off. All of us are called to broadcast. Disciples, women, crowd were prepared, and so too it's our calling as well. And the good news is, the good but also slightly scary news is, that all of us can broadcast. And we can do it because we don't have to make the seed. That was the second point. We're given the seed. The master gives the seed, which is the word of God. All we have to do is sow it. I think sometimes we think we have to reach a certain level of holiness or what have you before we can go and partake in Jesus's missionary agenda. But that's not true. We're given it. All we have to do is sow it. And the reassuring thing is that actually we don't even have to work out where to sow it. If any of you have been to my house, I'm rubbish at gardening. Like, just awful. There are so many weeds everywhere and I don't know how to make them go away. But we don't have to worry about where we're sowing the seed. We just have to sow it. So we're given it and all we have to do is do something with it. We don't even have to pick where it goes. We just have to sow. And so, I guess my challenge as we think about our new website, but also the way in which we communicate digitally, is that I'd like us all to think about how we broadcast the Word of God, how we sow the Word of God, how we do that at our physical front lines. We're probably familiar with maybe thinking about it when we're interacting with one another in the flesh, so to speak. But how do we do that in a digital world? And we've discovered when I got you all to put up your hands that so much of our world is digital. How do we broadcast the seed in the digital world? All we have to do is sow. Part two.
I think sometimes they call this a preach-off, which is probably the wrong expression. So I'm coming from a different angle. Thinking about what part does our website play? What's it doing? And I think it might help if I explained it in terms of something we think about at Advent during this season. And that is this idea of light. Mike read about it in our second reading. And the image works very well at this time of year because it gets dark quite quickly. This next Sunday afternoon, when we have our Christingle service, and everyone's standing there with their lit candle at around about 4:30, 20 to 5, when we switch off all the lights, it's dark outside, and the lights are beautiful. The candles shine out. Because one of the things about light is that it spreads. For example, if you have a candle in a dark room, you can see tiny bits of light get to all the corners of the room. And the Bible uses this picture of light that spreads and reaches something else. So, for example, you've got the famous passage at the beginning of John's Gospel, some of you may know it, about when God sent Jesus into the earth, and the picture John uses is one of light. The light shines in the darkness. In other words, Jesus as light permeates into the darkness and changes it. And just as John is seeking to describe what God does, and effectively he's saying God shone, he gave his light into the world, which was his son Jesus. And in the passage that we had read in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus reminds us that we are to be a bit like him. You are the light of the world. In other words, he's saying, just as I've come to this earth, now I'm asking you, like me, to shine out. Or interestingly, as Becca said, to broadcast. To shine out in my strength, with my love and my power and my guidance. I want you, as my light, to make a God difference to this neighbourhood. And of course, the history of the church is full of wonderful examples of Christians who shone out into whatever part of the world they've been placed. And one new area of our world, as Becca reminds us, is the internet. It's now part of society's world, used by a very large majority of our society. So it's entirely possible now and in future, when people first encounter us as a church, they don't first meet us as physical people. They don't even physically first come into contact with this building. The likelihood is people first encounter us by seeing our website or our Facebook, by meeting us on the digital world. So in other words, if we are to be the light of the world, we need to shine in that area too. And I'm very grateful to Becca, who's designed most of our websites, and to Andy Page, who's built it. Thank you very much to both of them. And it's been put together in a way that we hope connects well with inquirers about our church. So in other words, we've worked carefully on the feel that the website gives. There are lots of photos and we've tried our best to match the colours so it looks appealing. The information's been designed to make it easy for someone who wants to find out a bit. So, for example, as we'll be showing you in a moment, there is a new here question mark button. And if you press it, it takes you to what you might say are the frequently asked questions about our church. Things which you and I would say were obvious. But when you're a newcomer, they're not. Like, how do I get into this place? Are there toilets? Is there disabled access? If I have children, can I still come? Things we would assume are obvious, but aren't for outsiders. But there are also things for us as regular churchgoers to use, like the podcasts of our sermons will, of course, be on the new website. As I mentioned, the notice sheet will be there every week, as well as the calendar about what's coming up in the coming weeks. And in time, we're seeking to develop our Facebook too. Now, if the website is primarily for newcomers to get a feel about us as a church, then Facebook is more about us as a church family sharing news about the things that are going on, maybe photos of a particular activity, etc. Watch this space as we seek to develop that. Now, we are very proud of our new website, as you can probably tell. But to be honest with you, it's just the first step. You see, if someone looks at our website and decides to give us a go, they'll need to find that the welcome fits with what they've experienced on the website. I'm sure you'd agree that there's nothing worse than a fancy website, and they come along and actually meet us and we're not really that interested or interesting. And what therefore we need to do, and by we, I mean us, is to be actually living God's love. That's what's going to make the difference. So in terms of this town and this community and all those people that we come into contact with, that we are people of love. That we're not just, for a newcomer, a bit offhand, not really interested in them. But instead we are interested in them and also what's happening in this neighbourhood and society of ours. We are people of love. But also that it's God's love. That we are people whose behaviour stems because we are rooted in a relationship with God, because he's the source of love. That we are people who, as Pam Smith said in her sermon last Sunday evening, take God seriously. And that we are living God's love. That, you know, all this stuff that we talk about is stuff that you and I are actually doing. That we not just say it's a good idea that we agree with, but rather we do in practice. We are living God's love. Now just imagine if you and I could do that just a little bit more. That we are people of love and that it's based on God's love and that you and I are living it out. Do you know, I think if we could do that a little more, we would begin to shine out in this neighbourhood. That we would be a light to this world, or as Matthew also says, a city on a hill. That we would be people having a positive effect on this neighbourhood and its people. Now, our website has been designed with this in mind, to broadcast out, to shine out. But now, it's up to us.